From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry is committed to creating eco-friendly city. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry continues to fight illegal logging. India-Indonesia Infrastructure Forum is held for the first time. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry is committed to continuously creating a green and healthy eco-friendly city. To achieve the program, Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry will continue to strengthen cooperation with various parties and specifically to supervise the city forest area. This was conveyed by Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday, March the 20th.
The Ministry of Environment and Forestry will strengthen collaboration with city planners, real estate practitioners and people to make our cities greener and healthier. We actually has also ministerial decree issuance in 2009, kind of guideline for forest city management and providing supervision for city governments on their preparation for city forests. So we work on that aspect now.
Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar moreover stated that the commitment to realize environmentally friendly city is in line with the 1945 Constitution related to the implementation of human rights. It is because the right of people to live in a healthy and green environment is part of human rights. Related to the linkage between forests and cities, Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar explained that the city is heavily dependent on forests because it supplies vital needs for people in cities such as water, fresh air, and other necessities. The rampant of illegal logging that spreads in various regions in Indonesia has made the Ministry of Environment and Forestry work hard to combat the crime. According to Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday, March the 20th, her side has repeatedly dealt with illegal loggers and dragged them to court to account for their violation.
We work also very hard on this illegal logging. Within 3 years, we have been having more than 144 times operation to combat these illegal loggers. Mm-hmm. And there has been cases are prepared for bringing them up to the court. Mm-hmm. More about, let's say, about 174 documented and prepared to the court, and about more than 60 cases are being in the preparation.
Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar added that in addition to illegal logging cases, the narrowing of forest areas in Indonesia is also caused by several other factors, such as the massive population increase in various regions. Therefore, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry will continue to make various efforts, including developing special institutions related to forest ecosystems, such as forest management units. Based on record of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, at least 1.1 million hectares or 2% of Indonesia's forest shrinking every year. The data also mentioned that from 130 million hectares of Indonesia's remaining forest, 42 million hectares of which has been cleared or damaged. Forest destruction, which increasingly severe, cause disruption of the forest ecosystem and surrounding environments. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi and her Singaporean counterpart Vivian Balakrishnan inaugurated on Tuesday, March 20, the 166-hectare Nongsa Digital Park NDP in Batam, Riau Islands. Retno said the development of the park was a concrete step by President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong to turn Batam into a digital bridge for the two countries to enhance economic cooperation. Minister Retno said Nongsa Digital Park also reflects a development concept involving governments, academics, and private companies in developing the digital economy, adding that the president had given serious attention to the development of the digital economy. The government is eyeing investment of $500 million in the digital industry and startups, which are expected to create 10,000 jobs. Meanwhile, Balakrishnan said job creation was among challenges in the digital economy era, and people know that they are facing the digital revolution with the main problem of job creation. The first India-Indonesia Infrastructure Forum was organized by the Indian Embassy along with Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Maritime in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that the forum is a continuation of Indonesian President Joko Widodo's visit to India recently. The ministry welcomed Indian companies to Indonesia and stressed the infrastructure development is Indonesia's priority. To the Indian and Indonesian delegates, Minister Luhut stated that the investment and economic climate in Indonesia is getting better. According to the minister, many Indian companies are willing to invest in infrastructure projects in Indonesia. One of the most interesting forms of investment is in electricity.
Macam mereka mau di listrik, mau di jalan, mau di airport, mau.
They want to invest in electricity, the road, the airport, hydropower, seaport, pharmaceutical industry, and IT. They are very advanced, actually, because the electricity company belongs to them. It can be 20 to 30% cheaper. We want to see that. If it is true, why not? Because finally, consumers also get cheaper.
Bagaimana itu? Kalau memang itu betul, kenapa tidak? Itu karena akhirnya juga konsumen jual lebih murah.
Minister Luhut Panjaitan further explained that currently he doesn't know how much the value of investment to be spent by India in the cooperation with Indonesia. Therefore, it depends on the investment project to be cooperated. The event was also attended by Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi and Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Pradip K. Rawat. About 30 high-level delegates and Indian CEOs also present. The forum was also attended by 80 industrial partners from Indonesia. In his address, the Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, His Excellency Pradip K. Rawat, called for India and Indonesia to make greater synergies in the industrial sector, especially in the infrastructure. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. State Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno on Wednesday visited Walini Tea Plantation in Bandung West Java to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the state enterprises. The minister took a train from Gambir Railway Station in Surajakarta and arrived in Maswati Station in Cikalong Wetan West Bandung on Wednesday, March 21st, that the State Enterprises Ministry are celebrating the anniversary. Currently, they are constructing a rapid train which is expected to be useful for the people. The rapid train will pass Walini Plantation owned by PT Nusantara Plantation, which is a state-owned plantation company. The minister and her entourage, comprising president directors of state enterprises, visited an integrated community health post and a labor-intensive cash-for-work program in West Bandung. The European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Gorang, has commenced his four-day visit to Papua Province, including the provincial capital of Jayapura and Wamena, the capital of Jayawijaya District. The visit aims to directly see and obtain information about the latest developments in the province. Vincent wanted to look Papua's economic development, local elections, governance, human rights, and environmental protection programs, according to a statement received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday, March 20th. This visit to Papua is the second time for Gorang since he was assigned to Indonesia in September 2015. The European Union ambassador is scheduled to meet various stakeholders of administrative officials, community representatives, and people. Gorang remarked that the European Union has good relations with Indonesia. Many of the European Union's development cooperation programs in Indonesia have directly benefited the province and people, for example, in health, education, climate change, mitigation, and sustainable economic development. In addition to having discussions with the local administration, Gorang will hold meetings with people specifically to discuss environment and climate change management and future assistance to building capacity and providing advocacy. And the last item, the Indonesian government and Switzerland have cooperated on vocational education development through Skill for Competitiveness Program S4C, which is aimed at linking teaching process in the level of polytechnic school with the business sector. Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir stated in Jakarta on Tuesday, March the 20th, that the cooperation is held in several polytechnic schools, such as in metal, furniture, and food sectors. The program will implement the dual vocational education and training, or DVET system, that is implemented by Swiss. The minister noted that the program was a breakthrough to support polytechnic revitalization program. The revitalization can improve the competence of vocational students. The improvement will be carried out by changing the education curriculum to adapt with industrial necessity, retooling, and retraining polytechnic lecturers. The cooperation is needed to support polytechnic graduates to be experts in the industrial sector. Nasir hoped that the industry can assist with the learning process and the availability of lecturers in polytechnic institutions. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Ministry of Environment and Forestry of Indonesia is committed to creating eco-friendly city. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry continues to fight illegal logging. India-Indonesia Infrastructure Forum is held for the first time. And listener, that was the news.
Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Commentary today is Russian election result. Listener, the Central Election Commission of Russia Sunday, March 18th, reported that 67% of voters cast their ballots in the recent election in Russia. Of the transient calculations, more than 75% have chosen Vladimir Putin. Although the overall counting is still ongoing, observers have confirmed the former KGB member, the Secret Service in the Soviet era, for the third time will rule Russia again for the next 6 years, setting aside seven other candidates. Putin's victory has generated mixed reactions from world leaders. As quoted from Deutsche Welle, Vladimir Putin's re-election has aroused mixed feelings across Germany, including at the highest levels of political power. In a government press conference on Monday, 19 March, German government spokesman Steffen Seibert said the German Chancellor Angela Merkel would send congratulations on Putin's victory. While Chinese leader Xi Jinping was quoted as saying by Xinhua, in addition to congratulating Putin on the victory, also said China is eager to cooperate with Russia and improve relations between the two countries to a higher level. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro said Venezuela would improve bilateral ties with Russia after Putin's election victory, especially in the fields of international policy for the creation of world peace. Opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who was banned from taking part in the election, had earlier asked his supporters to boycott a vote he called fake. He claimed to have sent more than 33,000 observers across the country and said there had been unprecedented violations. However, Russia Elections Commission rejects allegations of fraud. It is said that the emergence of Putin after the collapse of the Soviet Union was predicted by the famous French astrologer Nostradamus in the 15th century. According to that forecast, there will be a leader in Russia who will bring back the glory of the Soviet Union with the same characteristics of the former KGB agent. Regardless of whether or not the prediction is true, the world hopes that Putin's victory can provide a real contribution to world peace, because after the end of the Cold War era, the hegemony of Western powers seemed to dominate. Almost all Western countries contribute to the peace program at the UN in the area of conflict, areas ranging from the Middle East to Asian countries. Russia does seem to be very eager to play a role in resolving world conflicts. In addition, the stability of the region becomes the political program of the Russian president-elect in the future. This is suspected as an attempt to restore glory as superpower. That was commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event which occurred on March 21, 1966, the death of Nurtanio Pringgo Adisuryo, pioneer of Indonesian aviation industry. Nurtanio Pringgo Adisuryo, along with Viveko Supono, made the Zogling NWG or Nurtanio Viveko glider in 1947. He made the first Indonesian all-metal and lighter plane, namely Sikumbang, Kunang-Kunang, Belalang, and Galatik. Nurtanio died in a plane crash that occurred on March 21, 1966. He conducted a test flight of Aero 45 aircraft, or RF, that has been modified by giving the extra fuel tank. Due to his high dedication, after the death of Nurtanio, his name was immortalized into the name of the aircraft industry, the Nurtanio Aircraft Industry, currently PT Dirgantara Indonesia. Next event of the World Poetry Day on March 21. The Poetry Day is aimed to give opportunity for humans to appreciate and support poetry and the writers. On the day, the governmental agencies, teachers, communities, and individuals are asked to participate and promote the World Poetry Day. The World Poetry Day, which is commemorated every March 21, ratified in November 1999 by UNESCO. They believe that poetry has an important role in the history, art, and culture of the people from the past up to the present time. UNESCO hope the spirit in the recital of poetry can be revived. The relations of poetry and artworks such as drama, dance, music, and painting are long-lasting works. The first World Poetry Day was commemorated on March 21, 2000. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event of the World Forestry Day commemoration on March 21.
The World Forest Day was firstly commemorated on March 21, 2013, based on the United Nations resolution on November 28, 2012. The anniversary is celebrated annually to share the vision and mission of the forestry related with climate change around the world and the strategies to be undertaken. Every year, 13 million hectares of forest disappear. Along with the condition, ecosystems are also lost, including rare plant and animal species. Deforestation causes 12 to 18% of the world's carbon emissions could not be absorbed, and that value is equivalent to carbon emissions from transportation worldwide. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you the topic, the national cosmetic industry grows by 20%. The national cosmetics industry has a fairly high growth, up more than 20% last year. This was stated by Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto in his written statement on Monday, March 19. Minister Erlangga also said that the Ministry of Industry has put the cosmetics industry as the leading sector as contained in the National Development Master Plan in 2015 to 2035. The minister moreover added the cosmetics industry in the country increased by 153 companies in 2017, so currently the number reached more than 760 companies. From the total, 95% of the national cosmetics industry are the small and medium industries, while the rest are large-scale industries. Several medium and large-scale industries have been able to export their products abroad, such as to ASEAN, Africa, and the Middle East. In 2017, the export value of national cosmetics products reached to $516.99 million, up compared to the previous year of $470.30 million. Minister Erlangga Hartarto explained, Indonesia is one of the big cosmetics markets, so the business will be a good perspective for producers who want to develop the sector in the country. One of the potential of domestic markets is the increasing population of young people. In addition, the cosmetics industry also began to innovate on cosmetic products for men and children. Another potential is the trend of people to use natural products or back to nature, so that it opened the opportunity for the emergence of cosmetic products made of natural products such as spa from Bali, which is quite popular with foreign tourists. The minister also said with good branding, national cosmetic products can achieve the success like cosmetic products from South Korea. Minister Erlangga Hartarto believes that from the aspect of raw materials, Indonesia has the advantage through the biodiversity both from land and sea. Marine seaweed and marine collagen, for example, are very potential to be developed in local and global markets. Likewise with land products such as aloe vera plants. It is aimed to create product innovation according to the current market needs. In addition, there need massive promotion of local cosmetic products so it can be more well known in the international market. The minister cited South Korea, which consistently providing its cosmetic packages as souvenirs. The Ministry of Industry noted that Indonesia has the fourth rank as herbal producer in the world after China, India and Korea. There are 30,000 kinds of herb plants grown in Indonesia, which can be utilized for the cosmetics industry. That was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry is committed to continuously creating a green and healthy eco-friendly city. To achieve the program, Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry will continue to strengthen cooperation with various parties and specifically to supervise the city forest area. This was conveyed by Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday, March the 20th. On similar occasion, the Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar said that the rampant of illegal logging that spreads in various regions of Indonesia has made the Ministry of Environment and Forestry work hard to combat the crime. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi and her Singaporean counterpart Vivian Balakrishnan inaugurated on Tuesday, March 20th, the 166-hectare Nongsa Digital Park NDP in Batam, Riau Islands. The first India-Indonesia Rail Infrastructure Forum was organized and by the Indian Embassy along with Indonesian Coordinating Ministry of Maritime in Jakarta. State Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno on Wednesday visited Walini Plantation in Bandung, West Java to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the State Enterprises. The European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Gurang, has commenced his four-day visit to Papua Province, including the provincial capital of Jayapura and Wamena, the capital of Jayawijaya District. And the last item, the Indonesian government and Switzerland have cooperated on vocational education development through Skill for Competitiveness Program, S4C, which is aimed at linking teaching process in the level of polytechnic school with the business sector. And listener, that was News in Brief. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to traditional dance from East Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, East Nusa Tenggara Province has different culture from other regions in Indonesia. It can be seen from a lot of traditional dances. The dances from this province are usually full of meanings. One of them is the dance of Bidu Hodi Hakdaur. Listeners, traditional dance in East Nusa Tenggara does not know single dance as well as Bidu Hodi Hakdaur dance. The dance is performed by more than two persons. Bidu Hodi Hakdaur dance is an accompanied music from combination of gendang, gong, tambur, and blowing of recorder or kind of flute. Even the dance is often interspersed with the song of Belu people, Lorom Malirin, which is accompanied with loud cry. Listeners, Bidu Hodi Hakdaur dance is developed with Likura dance from Belu tribe East Nusa Tenggara. The dance is moved by a number of men and women. With dynamic dance, the male and female dancer wear ikat weaving clothes of Belu tribe and also accessories such as ties or traditional bag and kelewang or traditional weapon. The dancer wear accessories to show wealth of Nusa Tenggara ethical culture which is exotic. Bidu Hodi Hakdaur dance is usually performed in welcoming honorable guests, wedding party, traditional ritual, and entertainment. Listeners, Bidu Hodi Hakdaur dance's performance is begun with male dancers who move their legs energetically and sturdy movement while sounding giring-giring or ankle bracelet by following rhythm of the gendang. Then, a number of female dancers come to swing their body while beating gendang or bibiliku or tambur with excitement and joy. Afterwards, there is choreography in pairs in groups forming a circle. Listeners, Bidu Hodi Hakdaur dance is inherited from generation to generation. In the past, the dance was to welcome commander of war who succeeded to conquer opponents. The dance represents a row of brave men who use kelewang and defeat the enemy, while a row of women beat gendang joyfully to welcome the men and to celebrate the victory. Besides, the dance also has another meaning, namely happiness and cooperation. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Bidu Hodi Hakdaur dance from East Nusa Tenggara Province. Thank you for listening.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is the restaurant, or in English, at the restaurant. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Ministry of Indonesian Education and Culture. Well, listener, now let's listen to a conversation about the restaurant, or in English, at the restaurant. As usual, I'll say every sentence loudly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between waitress and Tony. Stay tuned.
Selamat sore, Pak. Mau pesan apa?
Makanan apa yang paling enak di sini?
Ayam bakar mungkin?
Apakah ada yang lain?
Bapak bisa coba sate.
Okay, saya pesan sate.
Now, I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic of today's conversation. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Enak. Enak, in English, delicious. Paling enak. Paling enak, in English, most delicious. Makanan. Makanan, in English, food or cuisine. Apa. Apa, in English, what. Yang lain. Yang lain, in English, other or another one. Memesan. Memesan, in English, to order. To ask about the most delicious food, at a restaurant, you can say makanan apa yang paling enak di sini. While when you ask about a famous food, you can say makanan apa yang paling terkenal di sini. Another example, restoran apa yang paling murah di sini? In English, where is the restaurant with cheapest price here? So you have to use the word paling to say the best one than others. For example, paling murah or the cheapest, paling tinggi or the highest, paling enak or most delicious, and paling bagus or the best. Listener, I will repeat today's conversation to make your listening clearly.
Selamat sore, Pak. Mau pesan apa?
Makanan apa yang paling enak di sini?
Ayam bakar mungkin?
Apakah ada yang lain?
Bapak bisa coba sate.
Okay, saya pesan sate.
Listener, we bring you an exercise of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Please mention your name, your country, and your address by firstly deliver a greeting in Bahasa Indonesia. Please also send your voice recording to our email address at voi@voinews.id. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. See you next week with other interesting topics. Goodbye. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present the songs from The Massive Band. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Cinta Ini Membunuhku. Happy listening.
Kau membuat
You've just listened to the song entitled Cinta Itu Membunuhku by The Massive Band. The Massive is a band formed in Jakarta on March the 3rd, 2003. The personnel of The Massive are Rian, vocalist, Kiki and Rama, guitarist, Ray, the bassist, and Y, the drummer. The name of The Massive was taken from an English word, massive, which means very big. However, for the personnel of The Massive, the word massive is interpreted as a hope to get good works in the Indonesian music industry. Although the band was established in 2003, the name of The Massive was being known and popular in 2007. Its fame began after the band won a music competition. Currently, The Massive Band has been aligned with other top bands in Indonesia. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song by The Massive Band, Happy Listening.
Mencintaiku dengan separuh hati.
During their career, the personnel of The Massive have been produced 8 albums, namely Menuju Nirvana in 2006, Perubahan in 2008, Special Edition of Mini Album 2009, Perjalanan in 2010, Persiapan in 2012, Hidup Lebih Indah in 2014, and The Massive with Raif in 2016 and The Massive in 2016. Most of The Massive's works theme about love. However, some of them contain about the life motivations, like the song Jangan Menyerah. Almost all of the songs from The Massive get a positive response from Indonesian music lovers. The popular of the song of The Massive may no longer be a surprise, as many Indonesian musicians often requested the songs to Rian, the vocalist of The Massive. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Melody and Pergilah Kasih by The Massive. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Engkau bagai melodi yang selalu mengalun indah. Engkau bagai darah yang mengalir di nadi ini, di dalam hatiku tiada yang selain kamu yang aku cinta. Saat ku kuat terjatuh, ku ingin kau selalu ada. Selalu membuatmu bahagia, namun ku kan mencoba untuk selalu setia padamu. Di dalam hatiku tiada yang lain selain kamu yang aku cinta. Saat ku kuat dan jatuh, ku ingin kau selalu ada. Berjanjilah engkau tak pergi meninggalkanku. Oh, saat ku
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Pesonamu
kau telah termiliki. Ku kan selalu menyimpan satu nama di hatiku, dan ku mulai mencari sosok selain kamu yang seperti
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.